The observer problem pokes its head up. John von Neumann, having included a psychological component in his version of quantum mechanics, seems to have a foot in both camps. But it's a shaky place to stand. Let's say that he was right, and reality cannot be separated from personal experience. This doesn't explain how an experience dips into the quantum level. There's no doubt that subjectivity is a powerful force for altering reality. As humorist Garrison Keillor says on his popular radio show, Prairie Home Companion, "Well, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average." That's subjectivity overriding reality. But it's another thing to hold that subjectivity creates reality. The problem becomes easier if we stop seeing subjectivity as the opposite of objectivity. They are actually merged into each other. The reason we know this is because the subjective side of experience can't be isolated or subtracted. In other words, when everything is an experience, and everything is, subjectivity must always be present. Naturally, the physicalist camp resists this claim quite strongly. For a century, this great bone of contention has been known as the observer problem. Before it can measure something, science must first observe it. In the classical world, there was no problem observing whatever lay before us. Tadpoles, the rings of Saturn, or light being refracted through a prism. One experimenter could leave the room, and no matter who took his place, the observation would remain the same. The observer is only a problem if the very act of looking creates a change in the thing you are looking at. In the human world, we encounter this all the time. If someone gazes at you with love in their eyes, you are very likely to change, and you will change again if the look becomes indifferent or hostile instead. This change can extend very deep to physical reactions in your body. If you blush or your heart beats faster, the chemistry of your physiology is reacting to a mere look. What makes the observer problem unique in quantum physics is that the act of observation can be enough to bring particles into existence in time and space. This is technically known as the collapse of the wave function, meaning that a probability wave, which is invisible and extends infinitely in all directions, changes state, and suddenly a particle is visible. One of the basics in quantum mechanics is that a quantum, for instance, a photon or electron, can behave either like a wave or a particle. No one disputes this. What is disputed is whether the simple act of observation causes the wave function to collapse. On the physicalist side, things are things, period. And claiming that an observer causes a particle to emerge from the quantum field is mysticism, not physics. But the most widely accepted version of quantum mechanics, the Copenhagen interpretation, so named after the work done at the Copenhagen Institute by Danish physicist Niels Bohr, places the observer at the crossroads between wave and particle. This still leaves open the mechanism that allows the act of looking to affect physical matter. Something must be going on under the table, as it were. Observer A looks at object B with the intention of measuring something about it, such as its mass, position, momentum, and so on. The instant this intention is specified, the object complies. That's the under-the-table part. No one has an accepted explanation for it. Heisenberg described this in the most definite terms. What we observe is not nature itself, but nature exposed to our method of questioning. The observer cannot be separated from the observed, because nature gives us what we want to look for. The whole universe, it seems, is like Lake Wobegon. Now, let's extend the observer problem, which in the Copenhagen interpretation becomes the observer effect, to the mystery of what the universe is made of. If, As Heisenberg said, atoms or elementary particles are themselves not real, then asking what the universe is made of turns out to be the wrong question. We are trying to squeeze juice out of an illusion, and it won't work. The universe is made of what we want it to show us. Physicalists roll their eyes when they hear such an idea. But certain facts are undeniable. No one has ever seen the wave function collapse. It's not an observable event. Whereas calculating the behavior of matter in terms of uncertainty and probabilities has proved spectacularly successful. Quantum objects defy common sense rules of cause and effect. Put these facts together, and the picture that emerges isn't a cosmos full of stuff, but a cosmos full of possibilities mysteriously turning into stuff. The transformation is more real than the physical appearance we take for granted. To date, there is no better answer to what is the universe made of. Even a grumbling physicalist has to concede that the collapse of the wave function is a transformation. Pulling a rabbit out of a hat is an illusion. Pulling a photon out of the field is real. Unfortunately, for the Copenhagen interpretation and all of modern physics, no matter which interpretation one favors, the road stops here. An observer in the laboratory may affect the behavior of a photon, but this is miles away from everyday life. Can looking at the whole universe, its stars and galaxies, or looking at trees, clouds, and mountains actually transform them? The notion sounds preposterous at this point, but in fact, this is the basic claim of the human universe. We aren't there yet. To get around the roadblock, we'll have to prove that mind isn't just one factor in the cosmos, but the factor that underlies how everything in creation behaves. That challenge is looming ever closer, one mystery at a time.